Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, they call me Poop. I'm from these streets. Somehow, I live to see my 18th birthday. I managed to graduate from juvenile detention to adult prison. People try to tell me I should grow up be a man. But I'm the best man I know. Somebody asked, where I see myself 10 years. Man, I'm just trying to survive these streets day by day.
BFC Institute needs your help to reach the Pookies across America. Please support our traveling educational lecture series addressing perceived threats to African American males. To learn more, please visit us at bfcinstitute.com. That is bfcinstitute.com. Simply click the red sticker for details.
Welcome to another episode of Talk Straight. Yours truly, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. Glad to have you with us yet again for another episode. This is a podcast show that is designed to help Building Families and Communities Institute share its national model and lecture series for targeted cities across urban America. We engage individuals of various backgrounds and or experiences, but most importantly, you are a listening audience, and we're thankful that you have joined us again via Facebook, or right here on the podcast platform at Talk Straight. For the new callers, or new listeners, what we do is we offer a background or context for our discussion each night, Tuesdays and Thursdays, and we also open up our phone lines to you to join us after we finish our monologue, about 10 to 15 minutes. The number is 657-383-0944. I do see we have someone in queue already, and we'll be with you in just a little bit there. Bear with us. We're going to try to keep our monologue as short as possible so we can engage in dialogue there. Again, the number 657-383-0944. American socialization suggests that all citizens have the benefit of democracy. Perhaps the greatest fallacy of American culture is that you're free to do whatever you want. That fallacy is the cause of confusion and consternation of many young people struggling to find happiness and success across the country. Tonight, we're going to talk from the topic, The Burdens of Freedom. What am I missing? We're about to go into another year, and this year will be gone already. Today is already the 14th of December. Half of the month is gone just about. And this year will be history, and we'll be going into a new annual cycle. And for me, and I can speak on behalf of BFC Institute, what we concern ourselves with is bringing a close or an end to the things that trouble young people. All right? So tonight we're speaking from the topic, The Burdens of Freedom. What am I missing? And again, the number to call us here, and you can go ahead and do that now. If you're listening from Facebook, you're watching us live with a live stream, write this number down and give us a call. Join the conversation. 657-383-0944. You heard the announcement, the commercial about our traveling series. We want you to support us in that as well. And that website, yet again, is www.bfcinstitute.com. All righty. Without further ado, we're going to go ahead and get into our monologue, and then we'll get into some live discussion. Again, the topic is The Burdens of Freedom. What am I missing? Luke, the 4th chapter, 11th verse says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised." 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13 reads, "There has no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape, that ye may be able to bear it." I just want to give a basic definition of the word burden, the word freedom, and independence, because it will help us understand, again, the context of where we're coming tonight. Burden is defined simply as a load, especially a heavy load, what a burden is. Okay? Freedom, the power or right to act, speak or think as one wants, without hindrance or restraint. Absence of subjection to foreign domination or despotic government. The state of not being in prison or enslaved. Independence. The fact or state of being self-determining. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. Now, that's an excerpt from the Declaration of Independence, as you no doubt well know, written by Thomas Jefferson on July 4th, 1776. Now, the latter quote by Jefferson in the Declaration of Independence implies that every man in America, woman as well, every citizen has a divine right to equal access to the prosperity we find in this country. And divine providence dictates that. As much as we would want to believe that, when we just turn the news on, turn the radio on, look outside, step outside for a second, you'll realize that the fallacy that democracy is going to give you equal in anything is just not real. All right? The American male, in particular, Afro-American male, many of them, not all of them, but many of them, and particularly we focused on urban America, they tend to struggle, though, with identifying themselves by these principles. And I would dare say that it's even difficult for them to identify them as a child of God, because for them, the reality is, things ain't the same for me, excuse my English, as they are for other people I see. Often I expire or desire to be like them, but I find myself falling short. And when I try to do my own thing, somehow every law I look at is against my success. That's the perception of what's real, whether it's real or not. Okay? On July the 5th, 1852, the father of Negro voting rights, Frederick Douglass, posed a question in a live speech that he gave on that day. He asked the question simply, what to the slave is the 4th of July? Y'all know what that is, don't you? That's the day Thomas Jefferson wrote your independence, made you free. But Douglass posed that question in 1852. You know, the Civil War began between 1851 and it went all the way to 1865. It was then that there was a contention in America when people were about to go to war over making some people free and keeping them slaves that Douglass asked the question, what good is the 4th of July to the slave? Well, today, oddly enough, there are still people posing that question. Why should I be happy about American independence and freedom? Does that apply to me? Again, we're talking about the burden of freedom. What did I miss? How is it that if I grow up in a poverty-ridden area and I find myself with a limited education and I find myself not understanding certain basic facts about reality, about life, that I wind up being enslaved and trapped again? Why should I be happy about freedom in America? Booker Taliaferro Washington wrote a book entitled From Slavery to Freedom. In that book, he mentions the tendency for slaves during the 1865 and beyond to return to their masters after slavery ended. Now, what would make a person who were forced against their will and hard labor want to go back? That's all they knew. When they were set free, nobody told them how to become independent. So the freedom that they gained by the end of the Civil War became a burden on them. And I would argue that today in 2017, this December 14th, there are too many good people, not just blacks, but whites and others, who struggle every day. They say to themselves, isn't it easier to let somebody else take care of my needs and care about me? Somehow public assistance sounds real good and convenient. I ain't got to worry about nothing. Can't go to jail and lay down. Hey, I get three hots in a cot, man. They're going to take care of me. They're going to give me good dental care and everything. I ain't got to worry about nothing. I'm putting no work in. Go to job. Get a job. What? The burdens of freedom. What did I miss? Now, I want to offer you seven thoughts tonight. Seven thoughts. And then we're going to open up the phone line because I see we got some callers in queue, and I think they're ready for me. I'm going to offer you seven things to think about tonight in the context of this discussion that we're having. Challenge me. If I'm wrong, let me know. I want to learn. I want to grow. I want to do better. One, freedom can become a burden to you if you don't know how to use that freedom properly. There are people right now, they got freedom to do whatever they want to, they think. Can't nobody stop me until you break the law. And then when you get blue-lighted and you get caught up in the criminal justice system, you realize then, a little too late, you can do whatever you wanted to. Oh, you say, oh, other people doing it? Well, guess what? You're going to jail. When you get to jail, somebody's going to tell you when to go to bed, when to get up, what to wear, what you're going to eat and everything. You realize you ain't free. Number two, as a citizen, there's an expectation of civil obedience to the law. Now, a lot of people have a problem with this because they don't believe that America is right. They don't believe that it's been fair, that there's equality. So they reason that I got a right to break the law and disregard that. Well, when you do, as I just mentioned, you find yourself a prisoner or slave to the letter of that law. And it's not worth it, nor is it necessary. But when you learn to identify yourself as a free, independent citizen, there are reasonable expectations civically of you. If you don't know them, and that's really what we're aiming to do with our lecture series, is to teach people how to be reasonably civically aware in obedience to what is prescribed in the law of the land in which we live. Three, ignorance is no excuse for disobedience to the law. I didn't know. I can't read. I can't write. I didn't know. That still don't stop you from breaking the law and having to face the consequences of your action. There are good people who don't know, but not knowing is not an excuse. That's why we're here, teach you. Four, to be independent, one must be self-sufficient and autonomous. How you get that way, Doctor? Knowledge is power, and the more you know, the less anybody have to tell you where to go. I was once blind, but now I see. Huh? Yeah. When you can see for yourself the truth, it'll make you free. I wish I had a witness. And at the end of the day, you don't have to rely on nobody else to tell you where to go, what to eat, what to do. I come to tell you today, when you're independent, you can be self-sufficient and autonomous in your way. Five. There's a need to educate young people, beloved, as we leave another calendar year, about what has happened in the past. Many of those things are not good, and it'll turn your stomach to think about them. But guess what? You've got to let that be your past and learn from it in order to move forward in the future. All right? So you can avoid repeating the same mistakes. All right? Number six, a slave master, quote unquote, has taken a different identity today. He don't look the same. Yeah, you think that the slave master was just a white man or a Caucasian or a European who was on the plantation. But I would argue tonight that we can become our own slave masters. When we become a slave to ignorance, to deprivation, to destruction, to lies, and indeed to the trap that the enemy has set for us. That's your slave master. Whoever it is that you serve beyond your own control, and you have no control, they have control over you. Whatever it is, that's your master. Okay. Lastly, many don't feel free. One of the reasons they are so volatile and ready to kill somebody to survive, because they don't feel like I can be free and happy. And I got to get in where I fit in. I got to kill before I get killed. I'm going to tell you, that's the mindset now. Because there is a psychological trap from birth that they're set in, a mindset, a behavioral mentality that traps them into a self-destructive mode. So the older they get, the deeper they get into the trap. My God, I believe there's some help tonight. I believe there's some help tonight. The number is 657-383-0944. Feel free to give us a call here and join us live in this conversation. Pastor Ricky Waller, good evening, sir.
Yes, sir. How you doing? Good evening. How you doing, Pastor Dockery?
Get me straight, man. Where did I go wrong?
You know, I don't do the opinion thing too quick and fast. I don't do that enough. I can't pinpoint where you went wrong when you're speaking truth, you know, and that's what I love most about truth, you know what I mean? It does free people up. And yes, had I not you know, got in contact with truth, and I would still be entangled like I was. So that's a lot of truth in what you're talking about. And then you utilize scripture, man, you know, that I didn't know once upon a time, and now that I know that, you know, I agree with what you said.
Praise
you know,
God.
That's what we need. We love it. You know,
all right.
I've been talking about it for years about the trap, so you know where I'm at with that.
Right, right. And I know you're going to weigh in on that a little bit more in our discussion here. But let me invite 678-0405. Welcome to the discussion. This is Talk Straight. You're on live. Question, comment?
No, I'm okay right now, Pastor.
Okay. All right. God bless you. God bless you.
But,
and then we have 615-3072. This is Pastor Wallace's main one right here.
Yeah,
welcome,
37.
Thank you. I just chimed in, just getting off of work. Good. I'm just listening.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you for joining us. Any comment on the notion about the idea that with this freedom that you got, we got a lot of good young people who call themselves trying to be happy and successful, and they get caught up in the leap criminal justice at an early age often. You know, when they really want to be free. What about that 3072?
Your what?
What about that? The fact that young people get caught up early in the criminal justice system trying to live the American dream of freedom.
Yeah. I mean, like you said, I think it is a trap. And what they don't realize with that trap, even when they're freed some way from the trap, they still almost entrapped for the rest of their life,
right,
depending on what they've done, you know?
Yeah. So true. Pastor Waller, talk to me a little bit about, and I know you detailed this in your book, which we've spoken of many times, but talk to me a little bit about how easy it is, Pastor, at a young age to see the litter of wrong and destruction and make that your primary mode of survival. Will you talk to us a little bit about that, please?
I really appreciate what 3072 just said, because what happens, you know, when you acknowledge the trap, it's one thing, but when you don't know that it's a trap, that's another. And
that's
what
it.
Innocent eyes do, innocent eyes would see, innocent eyes and ears would also hear. Innocent eyes, ears, and talk would be able to express their language. And suddenly, you're tied up. You don't even know it, especially at a young age. And, you know, not knowing anything about scripture, I would say, you know, that the devil, the Bible says that the devil go about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And in my unawareness of that, you know, I was devoured, but I didn't know it. And that glitter, that fame, and that desire to want to have what you see others have, man, you know, it's a sad case on one hand, but it's an intentional thing being done on another. In order to capture my mind and to enslave my mind, you have to do something in particular to do that. And so, you know, that's what you know, man. And when I think about the young people today, you know, I have a lot of compassion because I understand the number one thing is that it's not their fault, man. I can only say that I've been young before.
What'd you say, Pastor?
Since I knew you. If you trap me and you know you happen to trap me purposely, intentionally, and then you blame me for being in the trap, I mean, that's hypocritical to me.
Hold on, 3072. Let me get 0405, 3072, and I'll come right back to you. Were you going to say something, 0405?
I know they looking at the, you know what, I can say, speaking from a standpoint, it seemed like it was fun out there during those times. And you if you growing up, you don't know, it's a different story, you know what I'm saying? And you just only going by what you see other people do. You know what I'm saying? And especially when you don't have that love and that support at home. So, of course, you're going to be looking for it for somewhere else. You know, if mom always busy working, dad is never there, she's raising the kids by herself or such, you know, or just dad just too busy. Any other parents is always busy. Of course, a child is going to wonder, because I had some good parents. I had some very good parents, but I began to wonder because I've seen stuff, and the stuff I've seen, it looked fun. And plus, I was looking for love in all the wrong places.
Yep, hold on.
So,
Let me see what 3072 got. Come on, 3072, what you got for me?
Well, Pastor Wally, you know you my guy, but I have to disagree slightly with that. I would just say I teach I have two black young men, two sons, one at 27 with four kids and a wife, and my youngest son is 23. So what I try to teach them is, if you know that there are snares and traps out there, then you need to be vigilant and pay attention to them. So if you know they're out there, then if you don't stay out of their way, you can't blame nobody else. You know, so many times we hear people talking about, man, the white man or the police got me because why? The law is you don't speed, or the law is you don't drive with guns in the car that's not registered, or what? Right.
Wow.
So that's a trap? No, you done that. So the consequence of you breaking the law is what? Maybe you get fined or you go to jail. Back to, you know, knowing about them traps. It's not a trap if you know it's a trap and it's out there and you choose to put your foot in it.
Hmm.
I'm just
there
saying.
You go. Now, you own it right there, because
saying.
You say if you know that's a trap. Now, remember, if you know that's a trap, but this is not up under the knowing. This is when you don't know that it's a trap.
Exactly.
And when someone is trapped there for you and you don't know anything about it, and you go into the trap, it's not your fault. And let me explain why. You know, Pastor Doctor, you just read according to the scripture when he said something about in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 13. And it states very clear. Verse 12 says, "Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall." Right?
My Lord.
And it says, no temptation taking you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful. He would not suffer you, would not allow you to be tempted above that you are able. But with the temptation, also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. Now, what that said to me is that once I got out of the trap, the one that I wasn't intended to go into and got captured, when I got free, now when that temptation come to me, I know it's a trap. That's the difference. You see what I'm saying? When I got in the trap, I didn't know it. When I got out of the trap, now I'm familiar with it. So if I go back into it, I chose to go back into it.
Exactly.
It was choosing.
Okay.
Yeah, but see, that's the difference. And see, when I got into the trap, I didn't know anything about the trap. I just had innocent eyes. You know, when you're innocent,
that's
you know
right.
That means that you know the enemy.
Well,
do what
but
he can
listen.
Do
can I say something? Can I say something?
Sure, you can.
God gave me this scripture. He says so. He says, so I found this law at work. Although I want to do good, evil is right there with me.
That was false. That was false.
Wow. Okay.
But see,
that's right.
But that don't take away from the trap. That don't take away from the trap.
Right.
See, the trap is when you
that's
don't know
true.
That it's a trap. That's where you got to be at. Now, when you know, it's a difference between knowing and not knowing.
Okay.
Young people that don't know, they get
sir.
Captured, man. I mean, come on. Yes, sir.
Well, can I... Okay.
Go ahead, 3072.
The young lady had brought up a point, which was a great point. I mean, that she came from a loving home. However, she was curious. She thought those things were fun. She, you know what I'm mm-hmm. saying? So, again, her parents did tell the baby, hey, watch out. There's snares and
right.
traps. But
not necessary. When I got out there, I found that it was fun. But my mama didn't never tell me nothing because they used to do it with me.
Oh, okay. I thought you said you came from okay.
I did. I really did because my mama didn't work real good and hard, but the other side of the story is totally different.
Okay. Well,
okay.
I was just gonna say that, I mean, in a lot of times, and myself, I'm guilty of knowing about traps and snares, but because, like Pastor Waller said, hey, it looks glamorous, it's glitzy, I'm bored, I need something to do, I choose the traps. At that point, I need to take the responsibility, even after I learned that this is a terrible trap. This is horrible. God, forgive me. I was going off of weakness or the flesh or whatever you may want to say. At some point, all I'm saying is we need to teach our young people to take responsibility for knowing we cannot just play dumb all the time. We've got to give them more credit of being intelligent and smart enough to think.
So let me ask you a question. Are you suggesting that we should hold young people accountable for their actions? Is that what you're saying?
Are you asking me a question?
I am asking you a question.
Okay,
I would like to answer that.
I am suggesting that we should hold young people that will one day grow up to be adults and old people accountable.
Okay.
Yes.
And that would answer the question, what are they missing, wouldn't it? What they're missing is somebody holding them accountable for productive and responsible behavior.
That's right.
I know when I reached 13, they said you are held accountable now. When I reached 13, they said you are held accountable for your actions. And with that being said, it made me wonder, like, I'm held accountable. So at that very moment, I didn't know I was held accountable for something. I didn't even know what was going on until had to be woke up.
Nicole, let me offer this for your understanding. The age of accountability in America is 18.
That's true, but I'm talking about when I used to hear, my mama used to tell me, like, when I was 13, she said the Bible said that you are held accountable then for your actions when you reach 13.
Okay. I get that. I get that. And probably because typically around that age is when you mature enough to reproduce. And sometimes a little younger for females than it is for males. But that's probably where she was coming.
But I don't see maturity. I didn't see maturity really set in until I was 30.
No, maturity in that instance is your body can reproduce life.
Okay.
Yeah. See, there's a certain age that you have immature eggs. They can't make a baby. But after you reach a certain chronological period, then your eggs are mature enough to interact with sperm cell and to make a baby. That's what I mean by that.
Yes, sir. Okay.
But I hear what you're saying, though. I do follow what you're saying in regards to you were following your mother's example. You were following her instruction. Now, we're not here to point a finger blame on your mother, okay?
No.
Or anybody for that matter. As it is,
we want
to understand how it is that this freedom that we're supposed to have becomes a burden to people. And young people, you know how they deal with it, with the frustration and the anxiety? They grab a gun or they go to war with folks. Stage of protest.
Uh-huh.
And most of the time, the only person that they hurt the worst is themselves. Or they'll go use drugs, indulge in alcohol, indulge in sex, gambling. Anything that will allow them to escape the reality of accountability, that 3072.
That's right. Yeah.
And that's where the problem
and
is.
I was,
But you know what? I can really relate to the kids today because why? They really don't have nothing to stand on.
Wow.
I can relate because back then until now, it's totally different. And they really don't have nothing to stand on. They really are blind. They really are going through the phase and really going through a turn because they innocent. They really are.
You know, Nicole, before we had certain rights and education, it seemed like African-American people understood what you're talking about, and they went out their way to try to teach their children some common. They called it mother wit.
Yeah.
Called it mother wit. We look like we done lost mother wit now.
Well, can I say something?
Yes, ma'am. Go ahead. Go ahead, 372.
I was just going to say, I'm not perfect. God knows by no stretch of imagination. However, I have 4 grandchildren. And they're ranging from the ages of 5 all the way down to 5 months. They're taught now. Now, when you step out of line, I'm holding you accountable. And guess what? If you don't know now, you will eventually know. The more and more I pull you back in and I hold you, make you hold yourself by teaching you right from wrong, that's the first steps of accountability. Now, back to what Reverend Dockery was saying, and I hear you, caller, young lady, you were saying how the young people, you know, they're innocent. Well, I can kind of feel sorry for them because it is messed up nowadays and parents are not what they used to be. However, how innocent are you when you do things in the dark because you know they're wrong? You run from the law. Now,
interesting.
Huh?
Go ahead. I want to comment on that. Go ahead. Finish your thought. I'm sorry.
Okay. So innocence, or if you look in psychology, somebody that don't know better, they going to just do what they do and own it. When they get arrested, oh, why you arresting me? Because I ain't doing nothing wrong. No, they
Hold
know.
On now.
They
you,
know.
You hitting on something. You hitting on something, 3072. You hitting on something.
Okay,
I'm done. No, don't go nowhere. So I like where you're going. I like where you're going. Watch this. You mentioned psychology. In psychology, there's a concept. That's a concept usually related to small children called cognitive dissonance.
That's right.
Cognitive dissonance deals with is that the child can perceive that there may be danger, but they don't really understand the nature of danger.
That's it.
So when they look, they walk in, right, and they come to a corner, they jump and look. They feel you there, but they don't really understand what. So when you appear, that's when they get scared. Now, what happens is you got teenagers and people in their 20s, 30s. I'd be doggone if they ain't in their 40s and 50s, and they still don't understand, just like that little infant, that little baby. And they find themselves always easy caught up in the snare of the enemy. So anybody can trick them because their level of understanding is just so mundane and basic.
No, but they're tricking themselves, and I'm guilty myself of sneaking in the dark, choosing to play dumb. But then when I get my foot caught in that trap, you know, okay, well, that's fine. So the next time that you approach that trap, don't choose to play dumb and put your foot in there.
Wow.
Because then it's not a trap. Then it's not a trap.
Yeah.
You took, yeah, right. Okay.
Hold on one sec. Go ahead, Nicole. Go ahead.
But you got these kids today. You got to understand something. This thing is called dysfunctional families. We got these kids today is born in dysfunctional families, and they are coming out already like this with ADHD and all kind of things. And some people are not aware of this thing, that mental illness is serious. And this is what's ruined the world today, mental illness. some people are not really on board to say I'm crazy, or well, they calling it crazy, but it's not crazy. It's called, you just have a mental illness. You have some dysfunction going on in your brain that you can't help. You was born like
that. Okay, now that's a whole nother argument, because half of the people that's falling under the mental illness, ADHD, whatever, this stuff that just did not derive overnight. These are things that people, are using as crutches. I'm sorry.
Well, hold on for a second, 37. You raise a legitimate point, but I hear what Nicole is saying. That you're right, but here's one of the problems,
some
Nicole.
Don't get me wrong. Let me explain something to you. Some people don't want to admit what they're going through. Some people don't even want to talk about what they're going through because they feel ashamed or they feel embarrassed.
And let me tell you why.
And then we got this rule that we used to use for many days, and we still use it today. What goes on in here stays in here. And you might be hurting so bad that you cut up and you bruised, and you just don't know what to say or do unless you're going to get your feet or arm or something cut off. So you just keep your mouth quiet and just do what you can.
Nicole,
go ahead, Pastor.
These are called subcultural traits and nuances. Now, one of the things that go with that is that we think, and I know for certain African Americans historically, within our ethnicity, we assume that God is going to fix it. He won't put no more on me than I can bear. I got a mental health illness. I don't need no help. I'm going to just go to the Lord.
Yeah.
Now, what's wrong with that? Now, what's wrong with that picture?
There's a lot of
accountability. Go ahead, Nicole. Then we'll come to your 37 too. Go ahead, Nicole.
It's a lot of things wrong with that picture, because you can go to the Lord and he's telling you also just don't come to him. He got help out here for you, but you got to ask for it.
You got to ask for it, and
if you don't ask for it, something will come and tell you, look, you need some help. Let me give you some numbers. If you use them, you use them. If you don't, then you still going to be stuck in that same position.
Amen.
So it's up to you to decide to decide what you want to do. You know, if you're going to sink or swim or barbecue or mildew, it's up to you to decide what you're going to do. You know, I mean, that's what I have learned throughout my years. I'm glad I went through whatever I went through. I'm not ashamed of it. And once upon a time, I was ashamed and embarrassed by it, but not no more, because God strengthened me through all of that, and he sent me through that for a reason, so I can be where I am today to help somebody else.
Got it. Now, let me get this right. You say barbecue or mildew, huh? I got it.
Yes,
I got it now. Go ahead, 3072. What you going to say?
Well, I was just going to say, as far as this ADHD, mental illness and all that. So technically, if there was a true definition, I should fall under the category. I've lost two parents in 1 year, just this year. Within the last 7 years, I lost my husband to a divorce. I've moved to a new state that I don't know very much about. My job is not, you know, I'm going through a lot. So would I be, you know, okay to go out there maybe and shoot up a store because, she's thinking so much. Or maybe would I be okay to come home and commit suicide because, she has been through so much. Would I be okay just to lay up in the bed and give in to my hurt feelings of depression? No, I have to continue to strive to pass, to go beyond whatever downfalls. That's what God, that's when God comes in. But again, it's back to, I'm holding myself accountable for preserving the life that God gave me.
Okay. Now, I want to bring Pastor Waller back in, because he made the point, 3072, that, and I don't want to put words in his mouth, there are people who don't have the coping skills you have. They don't know
what
to do.
That's why that is true.
And all they know to do is to be self-destructive. Let me let them speak for itself. What about that, Pastor?
Man, I tell y'all right there on it. I want to say my condolences goes out to my friends and her family, man. You know, because that
Thank
is going
you.
A lot. But
yes.
you made reference of the stop sign earlier. You know, when you said somebody put up a stop sign, and if
yeah.
you run the stop sign, it's a penalty, right? Now,
right.
the things
yeah.
I got caught up in, they didn't come out on 40th. That's where I grew up at. And
wow.
at the stop sign, they didn't put a sign up there saying, if you took a hit of this hair run, you're going to do it in a trap. It didn't tell me that. And
it didn't say that.
And so the word, and I didn't know anything about the Bible. I didn't know anything about none of that. And so here it says in the Bible now, say the sharp man sees the evil
mm-hmm.
and takes cover.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a person that's sharp. Not dressed up,
mm-hmm.
but that's a person that's sharp. It wasn't me. Then he said the simple goes straight on and gets in trouble. So I was that simple. And when they put that stuff out there, they didn't put it out there to just say, hey, we're going to put some heroin out there. They put it out
yeah.
there so they can trap somebody. And that
yeah.
person happened to be out in the yard playing with the basketball, just as innocent as I can be. And that's
yeah.
what happened to the simple. And when they catch me, this is what happened. Let me show you the power of being free and being able to
okay.
choose. Once
okay.
I got
okay.
out of the trap, once I got out of the trap,
uh-huh.
I never went back again because I can't
there
stand a
go.
Second round of that. You see,
right.
and that's the difference between knowing and not knowing. And there's so many people today that actually don't know. And I was just thinking about, you said something some time ago, about 2 or 3 weeks ago, and I'm still meditating on that thought of how many people who are getting a load of money that really don't want to be doing what they're doing because it's corrupting the community. How
yeah.
is it and what is it in faith of that person? Well, it's a picture that Pastor Dockery has. And I was going to ask him to send it to you because I want you to see it so you can help me with that when you see these young people on it. I mean, when I say young people, because the guy had just gotten killed and they was had a candlelight vigilance, you know. And I tell you, it's amazing, and we'll talk about that a little bit more, but it's just the thought of the trap. And they get them so young because they really don't know. See, and when you don't know, you cannot acknowledge a trap if you don't know that it's a trap. A trap doesn't look
yeah.
like a trap. It looks good. You know, it sounds and it makes a person think, if I can just get over there where they are, I'll have me some fun. That's how it starts
sure.
out. And so the,
yeah.
so the beauty of everything that I was in, when it comes down to the trap, I never went back to not one. And that's not boasting. That's just saying I can't stand the second round of it. You know, because
right.
that's how devastating that trap was for me and the harm that I brought to my community as a result of that. I mean, this is nothing to play with. This thing is so real that
yes.
they're not seeing no trap just to be driving. They're trying to destroy people. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And
they're going for the gold.
When I say destroy, yeah. yeah, man,
so,
they're not playing, man. When I say they're not playing, they're not playing. Whoever is that's responsible for doing it, man, I give them the props. They're not playing. You know what I mean?
Let me hold you on that, Pastor. Who is it, Pastor? Who do we point to? Somebody
huh?
We need to catch them and hold them accountable. Who is it? Who do we need to catch?
Okay, now I like that question, man. I'm going to tell you this right here, and I'm going to tell it to
Come
you
on,
in such a humble way. Because when we are asleep, now it's going to say us, right? It is now high time to awake out of sleep.
My Lord.
You know, not time, but how time to awake out of sleep. And it
right.
goes on further to say that the time is now to cast off the works of darkness.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to cast off the works of darkness means so the churches have the answer, man. And it's time to, you know, to step up and say, we got to cast off the works of darkness because darkness
Wait a minute,
is at work.
Can I tell you what I'm hearing,
yeah.
Pastor? What I'm hearing is
yes,
that
sir.
Some kind of way the church is not a part of, is not actively solving it, so they're part of the problem. Am I hearing that right?
If you're part of the solution, you're going to do something about it. If you're part of the problem, you're going to sit back and look at it. You're not going to do nothing.
Yeah.
Because, you know, there could be
yeah.
different sleep, man. And if you sleep, you can't help nobody when you're in the sleep, man. I mean, this is just serious business. And if the enemy knows that nobody that have that Bible that's in the churches
mm-hmm.
that's not carrying it out, then right. they'll just continue to do what they've been doing, man. I mean, and I respect that. I don't knock the enemy because of what he's doing. I'm angry about it, but I can't sit up there and say, hey, stop doing that. No, we have an opportunity who have that Bible, which have that power to go out into the world and post up. Just like when she see this picture that you have, now that's in my own little corner of the world, where I grew up at, where I corrupted my community at. I'm going back to do all I can to restore it. It was not easy.
Okay.
But let's just think of all the churches that would do that in their area.
Right.
Bring it to the streets.
Right.
Man, you'll be amazed. And when she see this picture, these are people that are off into it with guns. They off into the games. They off into, but they're crying out for help. Mm-hmm. See, that's what, and that's the beauty of it. So she's my motivator, man. I mean, she's awesome, man. I'm telling you, man.
Now, that's really what the essence of tonight's topic is, Pastor. The burden of freedom.
And you know what?
These young people are free to go to the street. Watch this, y'all. Watch this. Where they get caught up is not inside in the house, usually.
Yeah.
No.
But it's out on the street.
Yeah.
And they meet the cold.
Yeah.
Hold on. In some public venue is where they get caught up. Now, you're supposed to go there with the assumption that you're free and you got right.
Mm-hmm.
But when you go out there to them public venues, that's when you get in most of the trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
What's wrong with this freedom? I thought I was free.
Well,
that's the simple thing, man. Not too many sharp people, but
not trying to cut you off, but I want to tell y'all this.
Ahead,
I know, like this. You know what really makes it so bad? My son had a scholarship to go to art school before he was in high school.
Wow.
This young man was so smart; it was not funny. They wanted to put him in magnet school and everything, and he had his scholarship. Don't you know? Just one little mess up, and they took it.
Mm.
One little mess up. He got caught hanging with some boys from the school. The boys talked them into, come on, man, let's go in here and do something. And they got caught in an empty house, and he lost his scholarship. And he was peer-pressured right there in the school. And that boy was very talented, still talented today.
Yeah,
and every time he ain't been the same. And
don't
I have talked to him and talked to him. So it's when you going to school. When he was going to school, he didn't even know about no gangs or none of that. He was peer pressure in the school. He said, "Mom, I don't want to go back to school. I'm peer pressure." I said, "Son, you got to have your education. You got to have an education, son." He was my only son. It hurt me to my heart because I didn't want to lose my son to the streets. I thank God I'm still here today. You know?
Yeah.
But I'm telling you, he was peer pressure. He come right out for 40th. He went to school right out over there on 32nd, not too far from Pastor. So it's a terrible thing. I tell you, these young folks is really in for a big surprise when they go. The parents just don't realize what's going on in them schools. That's why I thank God that I have custody of my grandkids, because when they go to school, I go popping up and checking on them. They now don't even want to go back to public school, so I took them and did homeschool because they got it now. You could do homeschool because the kids is being bullied and everything else in the school.
Yeah.
I'm serious.
I was
they
just...
even got sexual stuff going on in that school. And everything else, it's so different compared to when I was going to school. I'm serious.
Okay.
It just don't got so worse.
Yeah. Go ahead, 37. What were we going to say?
Well, I was going to say, and I'm sorry to hear that about his scholarship, but I would not have stopped there, girl. I mean, and I guess it's what was put in me. My dad was a man of, dignity. He was poor, but he taught us to respect ourselves, to respect others, to have dignity in whatever we had. It could not have been a lot, but whatever you had is yours, and that's a beautiful thing. I think we were talking about, so who do we get to point the finger at or whatever. So hold accountable. When the people come to the church, then that's the first thing, like the lady on Tuesday night. Oh, my God, she brought tears to my eyes to discover that she was beautiful, that she was a gift. Are you kidding? How could you not know that? I mean,
Lord have mercy.
Right. And maybe I'm sounding terrible for, like, how could she not know that? We need to instill that in our children.
Yes.
Like
yes.
My grandchildren, we teach them to be radicals, not bad radicals, but radicals, to know who you are, to know who you're supposed to be. So if you know that, even if you were tempted to a snare, a trap, guess what? What the Bible say, you train a child in the way they should go. If they got that in them, even if they put their foot in that trap, they going to pull it back out and say, man, I done messed up. I ain't doing that one no more. That's all I'm saying. We need to go take it back to the fundamentals. Teach these children. I can't go back and teach my 27-year-old son or my 21-year-old daughter, but I can instill all that I know that I didn't know then in my grandkids now.
You sound like me because my daddy did 22 years in service. And that man worked until his knees and legs got cut off. Do you hear me?
Wow.
Right.
He worked until his knees and legs got cut off. Even did them 22 years in service and still kept working until his knees and they cut his knees and his legs off. And I tell you what, I just thank God I was able to put him to rest, knowing that I was done finally got myself together. I was at peace.
Praise God.
So he taught me to do what's right, you know.
That's right.
You know. You could get caught up at a blink of an eye and don't even know, you know, because I was innocent. I really was. And, like I said, I did come from a good family, but still it was some things going on there. Because one thing I'm going to leave with y'all, I'm going to tell y'all this. My mama told me when I turned the age of 18, me and her finally sit down and we talk. She said, daughter, I don't know how to love you because my mama and my daddy didn't teach me how to love, and they didn't show me what love was about, so I can't show it to you. That's why I am like I am. And when she told me that, I began to hunger to show her what love was and show my kids what love was, and that's when I began to get it. So it's just sometimes I feel like it comes, forefathers, foremothers, or comes way before, is bigger than that, you know, because it's just, it's deeper. You ask me, it's deeper than that, because I just could not believe it, that my mama didn't know how to love, you know, but she told me the truth about it, so.
Okay.
Well, I was going to say that anyone that gains freedom, their freedom is all gained in vain if they don't teach the next person to at least try to avoid what they went through.
You're right. Yes, you sure right about that. you're right about that. That's what it is. It's, you know, passing something positive down to another generation. And I spoke earlier about being sharp. You know, the sharp man sees the evil and takes cover. The thing is that it's not a person who brings up on the outside who's sharp. You see, a lot of that was. That's a simple person, and a simple person goes straight on and gets in trouble. And that's what's happening to the generation of young people who actually have that mindset, and it doesn't matter about what family they came out of. And that's the thing about it. I used to sell drugs to some people, my goodness, they're very highly intelligent when you come down to that. But the thing is that once you get captured, and it's a sad thing to say, and the power of it, that's why when I discovered it, when I seen it in the Bible, I said, man, why is it that they don't take this type of information to the street? It said that we may come to our senses. Listen to how this scripture is ran, that we may come to our senses and escape the snare, the trap of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. So if the devil has a will, he wants to have people to do it. And whom better to do it than ignorant people that don't know no better? Lord, have mercy. And I raise my hand and say, I'm guilty, man, of being ignorant. However, I'm so glad that I never went back to any addiction that I had, man. And I tell you, it is sad to say that so many people will go back after getting free. And that's
Come
just
on.
The power of the enemy. You lure
that's
people
right.
off into something like that. And, you know,
yeah.
as you just said earlier, 37, now you have a choice. See, it's like after you have escaped, snared a trap, and then you go back in there, ain't no sense
yep.
of trying to holler out now. You know, you
right.
went back in there.
That's what I'm saying.
It's terrible.
Well,
it's terrible. But that's the solution. Now, remember, always. Yes, sir.
Absolutely. Let me do this, if y'all don't mind. Let me get this quick break in, and we'll come back on the other side. You're listening to Talk Straight. This is Pastor Reuben Dockery and Pastor Ricky Waller, and we got Nicole on, and the beautiful lady, 3072 is what we calling her tonight, and she on fire. She on fire. Thank you, lady. Let me go to this break, and we'll be right back. Give us a call here, 657-383-0944. We got about 30 minutes to go, and we'll be back on the other side of this brief message.
Hello, listening audience. Thank you for tuning in to Talk Straight and being a part of a national dialogue designed for proactive change. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. I'm grateful again to engage each and every one of you in very important conversation. I need your help as I endeavor to take this message and the conversation we share on air to targeted cities and urban areas across America with the hope and desire to improve the quality of lives by engaging communities and proactive strategies. You can be of great help by going to our webpage, www.bfcinstitute.com. Click on the donation tab or the contact us tab and find ways that you can assist us by either purchasing our items or just making a donation on our secure PayPal site. If you are a business or someone who would like to make a corporate level contribution and you would like more information, please give me a call at 615-498-4669 or send me an email at bfcinstitute@gmail.com. That's bfcinstitute@gmail.com or give us a call at 615-498-4669. We are glad to share with you and provide you all the necessary information to help you make the decision to support us in our traveling lecture series.
Tracy Jordan on with us, Jonathan Rip Pops on with us, Greg Smith on with us, Delisa Cobble on with us, and Lindsay Marcia Coachman, it looks like. Thank you guys for joining us on Facebook. And we have in with us tonight 0405 and 3072 and Pastor Ricky Waller. You can join us here at 657-383-0944. Give us a call. We'd love to entertain your thoughts. Got about another 25 minutes here. Friends, you heard what War said about the four-corner rooms, right? Now, we've been talking about really how people are trapped into a condition or state of mind in action. And in these four corners of their mind, if you don't have the knowledge of how to come out of that room, you stay trapped in the dark. Is that right?
Yes.
That's correct. That's correct.
Now, I don't know if you've seen our promo for Facebook, but on the picture there's a young man who looked like he's in a dark room. Around his neck, it looks like an American flag that's turled, and almost as if it's there as a noose or something. The inference is that he's free, but yet he's burdened by his freedom. Perhaps
why?
What'd you say, 3072?
Why?
Why is he burdened?
Why is he?
Say it again, Pastor. Say it again.
He's missing the misery. You know, it's a sad thing, but, you know, he's free, but he's been miserable so long. Misery loves company, and he's probably like, I'm comfortable being free. Let me get back over there. That's sad. It's what a lot of
you know, you guys are making, y'all making me feel better and better about myself. Because nobody holds the key to my freedom but me and God.
Yeah,
well, I know
what
that.
What you got to understand, 3072, is the reason we're doing this show and the reason we're striving to travel with our lecture series is because there are people in four corners of their mind, and they're wondering, how the devil did I get there? What am I missing? If I'm free, why am I bound?
Right. Right.
That's
exactly.
These are good people now. These are good folks.
Of course.
They really
want
to know the answer to the question, what am I missing here? If this is America, home of the brave and land of the free, what am I missing?
Okay, well, maybe, can I?
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I mean, and maybe that's part of the problem. Maybe that this land, this world belongs to God first and foremost. Hell, I just live in the U.S. of A., but don't nobody own it again but God. When he decides it's going in, it's going in. Now, I do realize that I have to, you know, follow the rules or the laws or whatever else, but again, as far as I want to go, I'll go. And as short as I want to go, I won't go. I'm the one in control. I'm right. Me and God. That's all. If people got that, you are in control. You, not the rest of the world. Even when you've made mistakes, you've sold drugs, or I got a record. Well, I could never work again, and I could never have a good life. Why not? Because you're choosing not to?
Hold on.
Why not?
I gotta share this with you. I was once asked by a gentleman who said he hates America and what it stands for. Why are you happy about being an American? And I said to him, that as a student of history, I learned that my ancestry goes far beyond American shores, right? Goes back to the continent of Africa, right? In fact, all civilization can be found there, right? But I said to him, all I've known all of my life is America. Then I learned, 3070, then I learned that when the railroads were built, it was off the backs and the sweats of people that looked like me. When the antebellum homes of the South that housed the slaves were built, it was by people that looked just like me. And then I realized that the White House, the headquarters of the United States of America, built off the sweat, tears, and labor of people that look like me. Guess what? Now, if I was at home in Africa, that'd be a different story. But this is all I know. And doggone it, I got it right here. I got some freedoms in. I intend to get all of mine.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's it.
That's the wrong Pastor Wallace.
No, that's the good news there. You know, and
yes,
then, as you said, once you learn that and you know that, that's a different story at that point. But it's all
that's
about
it.
A lot of people just know and don't know the Bible and don't know anything about the instructions. And then I still seen some things off of myself, and I'm amazed by it because it says, for what is a man advantage if he gain the whole world but lose his own soul?
That's my guy.
So, you know, I turned it over for an exchange. So you can have everything I got. I'm turning mine over because that was miserable.
I'm going
the whole world, up to my community,
hold
but
up,
I'm going to lose my soul.
Hold up, Pastor. I've been poor all my life. I ain't about to just give it up, man. I just got this. You want me to give it up already?
Hey, man, it's not easy, brother, to give it up, man.
But
you got to have goodness.
It's easy for me to give it up. I mean, right, if me having some means you're in control of it, I have nothing, and you can have it. Take it. I don't want it.
Right, that's it.
You're not going to run
that's
me.
That's the point. That's the point. That's what I did. I made a monumental decision. You see what I mean? To be able to say, man, look here, I'm not going another front. I'm not getting ready to sell another piece of that drug. I don't care how bad I want
that's
it. I don't care how much I make for money. And guess what? I haven't done it since 1997, man. I mean, that is a problem for me, man. It was not easy, but I was bold. I said, I'm not going to continue to hurt my community.
Who want to know the real definition of freedom? That what he just described is the definition. That's freedom. That's free.
Okay.
Yeah, that's right.
I wouldn't.
Can I tell Nicole something?
Mm-hmm.
Nicole,
go ahead.
They think they bad, don't they?
They are. But you
they
know
think
what?
They
I
bad, don't they?
Yeah,
ahead,
they
go
are. They bad. But I want to share this with y'all. It's been 7 years, and I'm going to tell you something. I was telling Pastor no longer than the other day, Pastor, wasn't I? I said, if you're not going through something, you need to ask if you on the right track, you know, because the devil going to throw all kind of fairy dice at you. If you think about it, he don't mess with people he already got. He mess with people that he don't got, you know. So I just wanted to share this, though. I'm going through all kind of stuff right now because I choose to, for God I live and for God I die. So he don't put so much on me that I could turn around and go backwards. But I just thank God I got faith and strength that this too shall pass. You know?
Yeah.
And I'm like, you was talking about you dealing with some stuff. Sister, you ain't dealing with nothing by yourself because I'm over here dealing with a whole lot of stuff. My mom, everybody. I'm trying to call them. Nobody's answering. But I just thank God he answered. And you know what? And that's just good enough. But I just thank God he just moved me. Because I'm telling you, I got so much peace and strength. But, you know, I'm going through so much. But I can give up. But I just thank God I'm not. I just know how to pray and know how to read my Bible and know how to just give it to him. And I'm okay. But you know what?
Know,
I was thinking about, too, that the devil, he said, it said in his word, he's seeking and he devouring and seeing who he may destroy. If he could destroy you, that's his mission. So
you are beautiful.
You are beautiful, Nicole.
She kind of cute.
I want to drop something on 37. I want to drop some on 3072 and ask the question on the other end of this 3072. Hold on 1 second.
We can't sleep. We living in hell. Freedom. Give us the work and they throw us in jail. Road trip, the white, please, Lord, don't let me go to jail tonight. I'm a soul survivor. Ask about him in the street. The boy Jesus ride around. 100 grand on my wrist. Yeah, right.
Hey, looking for me, I'll be on the block with my thing. Possibly
72.
Yeah.
You got folks got the gall to fix their lips to ask, who need help? What we got to do? What they need? Who don't know that they on the block trying to survive?
Yeah.
Huh?
You know what? Let me say this. Let me say this.
Okay.
And as God is my witness, if you want to see me tear up and break down to tears, put someone in front of me that don't know themselves, like you said, and is out there thinking that they on the up and up.
Mm.
They pulling up and they cough with they rims and they booming system. And they got like 8 kids by 3 different mamas. All of the mamas on welfare. He done been to jail because he done beat one of them up. The poor moms are uneducated. The kids are just, and man, that hurts me. That hurts so bad.
Okay.
They're lost.
Okay. Okay.
They lost.
Yeah.
And some of it is by choice. So who need help? They need help.
Wow.
They do. Them babies need help. God, help them.
Yeah.
Father, help them.
You know,
that hurts. They need help.
Yeah, they
go
need
ahead,
help. Yeah,
come on,
a salute.
You
know, she's all right right there because that's the compassion and that's the love and kindness that she had within her heart. But let me tell you something about yourself, and I've been loved so much, and we need more of you as watching kids come up to be just like you are right now. And believe me, I'm saying this with all sincerity from my heart. You are the sharp person. The sharp person sees the easy and takes cover. See, that's what we need more. We need more of people. I would love to see – I wouldn't want this on my worst enemy. I would love to see people grow up without ever using drugs, without ever getting caught up into just so happens the enemy is wicked. And then by him being wicked, he knows people who are innocent. He knows people that don't have the knowledge. He knows the people that he captures.
Mm-hmm.
And the only reason why he knows is that when he have them, okay, now you're in my kingdom. Because there's two kingdoms. God has a kingdom and the devil has a kingdom. And that's why,
now,
you know, we need to be mindful of taking
Wallace,
the word to the street.
Hold on one second.
Pastor
on one
Wallace?
Second.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let him finish.
She's taking the word to the street. She's taking the word to the street. That means you're taking the solution out there to remind people to choose you this day. See, that's good information to let them know. Say, hey, you got a choice. You can choose this day who you're going to serve. See, that wasn't going on when I came up. You know what I mean? Didn't nobody come out there and bring forth the word of God or anything like that. They may come out of the building, but they're not talking that language, you know, what's in the Bible. So if we get more of that out there, that's the solution to our problem. And believe me, you will have a whole lot of people not walking into that trap because it's going to destroy. I mean, that's the purpose of the trap. There's no other reason for the trap to be there other than to get people to come inside of it, try it, and then like it, and then all of a sudden, it being so deep, you can't get out until they holler for help. You know?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Hold on, Nicole. Don't forget your question.
Okay.
Don't
okay.
forget your question.
Yeah,
37, what were you trying to, you going to say something to Pastor
Waller? I was going to say to Pastor Waller, and I guess one reason that I admire you being probably older than I can relate to your story. While I never sold drugs, I don't want you to think by no means that I grew up innocent. I came from a very good family. However, I was the one ditching school. I was the one smoking weed. I was the one hanging out with misfits. However, that again, back to teaching a child the way they should. Man, God never took his eyes nor hands off me, and I never stopped listening. I never stopped listening. I tried those things, but when I learned better, guess what? I even kept in tune with those friends that were still doing that only to share information that I knew was not good for them.
Okay.
And some of it worked
really
for them, and some of it, So, man, witnessing can come all the way around. You don't have to be, and you should be in church, but that's not a requirement. That's not a, I say, meet people where you are, where they are. Help how you can.
That's right.
Okay. Let me get Nicole. Go ahead, Nicole. You're going to ask a question.
I want to ask the question, but before I do, I want to tell Pastor Wilder. Pastor Wilder, I really appreciate you, and I honor you for all that you have done for me and the community, because you have done a good job, a very good job. He also took me and sowed a seed in me, and I thank God I'm living it now. So I just thank God, because I've been 7 years clean now. It took me a while, but I finally got it. So I just want to thank you, Pastor Wilder, for that. Also, I wanted to say this. How is it if you go to church and you get in church and you get church hurt and you just stray away from the church? Because that's another thing too. You can go to church, you can get church hurt, and you can stray away, because you understand something too. The enemy is in the church. He's in the church
sometimes. Agreed,
he's
Nicole.
In the church sometimes a little bit more heavy than you would expect. Because I've been, yes, sir. Because I have went to church, wasn't expected to do nothing but serve God and just keep living right. Next thing I know, I'm in the church. I'm hearing gossip. I'm hearing, let's go to the club. I'm here. You drinking with me tonight? I'm like, wait a minute, hold on. I thought I was at church. I thought we were supposed to come here. It's supposed to be a hospital. We're supposed to get healed. So
you're
saying, what do I supposed to do? God told me that, you know what, you got to learn how to choose what you're going to do, regardless of what. You in church, you know what you there for. I'm there for to hear a word and worship with my brothers and sisters, and I need to stay away from the people that's trying to get me back out there, because they in there and they might not be as strong as they should be. So I had got church hurt, and I had strayed away. And so I'm asking, what should I do if I run into something like this? What should we do, you know,
well,
when we run into something like this? Because some of us probably done got church hurt and just don't want to go back.
That's true, Nicole.
What I heard John 8 chapter say, Nicole, is that you shall know the truth. And the truth will make you free. Watch this, Nicole. It didn't say you should know a church, and a church will make you free. Did you catch that?
That's right. I called it, Pastor.
I've been pastoring now 20-some years, but what any pastor, if they're worth their weight in gold, will do is to teach you to seek first the kingdom of God, his order.
And all his righteousness. That's true.
All that other mess is a bunch of garbage. Amen, Walt.
That's right.
So you got to know the difference between the truth and some foolishness. And you did right to walk away from foolishness.
Yes,
well,
sir.
Can I say something?
I just wanted to throw that out there for those who don't know there is struggling. Because I know some people that probably be struggling and having a hard time with going back to church because of all this stuff. You know?
Go ahead, Pastor. Bless you.
Nicole, if I was like you, I would give you the biggest hug right now. But you're absolutely right. That is part of what I'm going through. I mean, I grew up in a church, and I wouldn't say where the doctrine that I didn't believe in, but you're right. The elements, the things around me that was going on is like, man, God can't be here, brute, you know? However, I know that God exists. I know he's real. I know he's loving. I know all of that. However, and now I'm to the point years later when I'm an adult and I can decide whether I walk in or not to a church. I don't often, honestly, because I don't trust. I will not be taken advantage of and made a fool of like my mom. And what Pastor Dockery is saying, all I have now to rely on is what I know about God and my personal relationship. And I'm not saying that people shouldn't go to church, but that's just where I am.
I guess we got about 5 minutes, but Pastor, let's do something to try to help with the hurt here, the church hurt, before we leave. And let me yield to you for a second. Go ahead. What were we going to say?
Who, me?
Pastor Doctor.
Pastor Wallace. Okay. Pastor Wallace.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
What I was going to say is to the young ladies that just made it known about how they felt about the church. Now, this is according to the scripture. Now.
Mm-hmm.
It says, come out from among them. Be ye separated.
Be separated.
Mm-hmm. What you mean is, whether it's not going to church or just being in that, make sure that you don't be affiliated with what's going on. In
mm-hmm.
other words,
mm-hmm.
you know, when it says come out from among them, so apparently it must be some them in there that's
mm-hmm.
causing you to feel this. You see what I'm saying?
The
but
whole
I know
church.
When I first walked
the
in the
whole
door,
church.
Yeah, the whole church. Yeah, and see, when I walked into the church, I didn't know what was going on when I first walked in. I was just visiting, and everybody in the church
mm-hmm.
looked like they knew God. You see, but
mm-hmm.
I stayed in my
mm-hmm.
lane. I stayed in my
mm-hmm.
lane. I got food and understand, and some of the people are still doing the same thing, and that happened
mm-hmm.
20-something years ago, and they're still doing the same thing. So what I'm saying to you,
yes,
I encourage
sir.
Both of you to just know, be ye separated according to the word of God and come out from among them, whether it's going to church
mm-hmm.
or not.
Mm-hmm.
You still have that right.
Now, let me make a difference between the ritual activities of going to church, quote unquote,
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
someone living a life of maturity before the Savior, before the Almighty. When you
yes,
do
sir.
That,
mm-hmm.
you have a low tolerance for foolishness and ignorance and irresponsibility.
Yes, sir.
From the pulpit all the way to the back door. Okay, so this notion of just ritualistically going to church and doing what people in a church or a group that call themselves a church, that's one thing. And I don't want to discourage anyone from seeking the truth in the house of God. The Bible
yeah.
says that judgment begins in the house of God. Okay?
That's what it says.
Unfortunately, we've gotten to a point, we did a show on this before, where even the truth and the message of God has been messed up and distorted by misrepresentation. And
mm-hmm.
like we're talking
mm-hmm.
tonight, what we're talking about is the truth that need to go straight to the streets, to the hood,
mm-hmm.
and run right
mm-hmm.
past run right past the church door and go straight to the street. This is the word of God that will transform lives.
That's
will
right.
Transform But so, ladies, be encouraged. Hold your head up, and know that God
yeah.
will not be mocked, huh?
Mm.
He changed not, and he will not be mocked by me or nobody else. So,
right.
man, Pastor Wallace, you done cut my time off, man. All I got is about 2 minutes now, man, dude.
Again, my goodness.
Yeah.
Again.
We've been talking from the talk tonight, the burdens of freedom. What am I missing? Answer simply is you're missing the truth about what it means to be free. That's
shouldn't this be
a
continuation?
Huh?
Continue, Chuck.
Well, I guess we can look at that. We can look into further discussion about that. Certainly,
sure.
certainly. It'll be next Tuesday when we come back.
Okay. I wanted to thank everyone on the panel tonight. I mean, this honestly, Reverend Dockery, I think that you should continue this. This is real good. It's been really a blessing.
Yes, yes, Lord, yes.
Well, well, praise God.
Yeah.
Praise God.
To a lot of things.
Okay. Got 60 seconds here. Well, listen, thank you guys. Before we get cut off here, I better go ahead and prepare to close out. Thank you again for joining us
yes.
on Talk www.bfcinstitute.com. It's where the website. You can go learn more about what we do and support our cause. And know that we are on a mission, and we have a journey. and it's not ours, but it's one that we're on. So we're grateful for all of you that has joined us Facebook as well as on the podcast here. Those that will listen to the show later, check us out on our website, www.bfcinstitute.com. And we thank you again, and we're going to see you next Tuesday. And we'll be back for another episode of Talk.
When I saw make your ass start giggling, three blind crippling crazy senior fitters. I live by the squad. I take my boys everywhere I go because I'm paranoid. I keep looking over my shoulder, peeping.